God is good. Amen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that God had put a word on my heart for you this evening. I believe there's a continuation of it the next time I get up here. But it starts with a word. And how many of you out there ever hear from God and it's just a word? Just one word. I guess I'm the only one. Well, hopefully I'm not the only one that hears from God. Amen. The word is, in your Bibles, let's turn to Galatians. All right, in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, Galatians. It's not going to be on the screen. But we're going to go with our Bibles. You should have your Bibles, or if you have a phone, go on your Bible app or whatever you use. There's an app that the church uses, that we use, called Faith Life. Faith Life, if you're into technology. And so you can sign up with faithlife.com and hook up with our Faith Ministries group. And it comes with a Bible and cool stuff. And you might notice on Sundays, this is a little plug, I guess, for it. There's a bulletin, and you can follow along on your phone. It saves. It's always there. You play quizzes and stuff Sunday morning. It's kind of cool. Peter and I enjoy it. So that's there, and you see it's Faith Life. And I want to then announce also on Sunday, Matt and Aaliyah Merrill will be here, special guest speakers for us on Sunday. So be here, bring a friend, bring some family members. I know he always has a word for our church. He always has a word for people, and God really uses him. So if you're able to be here, be here. If not, invite people just to come. It'll be, God will move that day. God moves every day, but you understand what I'm talking about. All right. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5, we read a whole lot of good stuff. Amen. In chapter 5, there's a section in there in my Bible. I use a New Living Translation. Sometimes I use the ESVs. It's just a matter of the day I'm in, I guess. But today we're going to be reading out the New Living Translation, and the heading above where my Bible says, living by the Spirit power. Living by the Spirit's power. How many of us would like to live by the Spirit's power each and every day? I think that should be a rhetorical question. It's something we search on every day. I know that I do. I wake up early in the morning, or at least I try to, and I sit in a red chair that we have right there in the living room, and I sit there and pray, and I think about the day, and I pray about the day, and I always ask God that I work and move in the Spirit's power. And some days, you know, we get into the flesh. You know, I'm human, and some days it doesn't happen, and some days it works really good. But, you know, we're striving to be better every day. Amen? At least I am. But today, the word for you is faithfulness. The other day I was reading in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, and we might know this is the fruit of the Spirit, right? This is the fruit of the Spirit. And so it says this, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces. And so that means that the Holy Spirit inside you produces these things. And we can go into each one of them, and I'm sure there's a teaching on every single one, and I'm sure we've taught, I'm sure I've taught on all of them. But it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Now, what it's really talking about, if you don't understand, it's kind of a metaphor. It says this, the Holy Spirit inside you, because you know that we believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Amen? And so inside of us, then, the Holy Spirit's power is to produce this fruit coming out of us. And so the fruit is this. It says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says, there is no law against these things. So the fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit producing actions, that we live by, that we're supposed to, as followers of Christ, that we're supposed to be showing every day. This is fruit. We're the tree, right? Connected to the vine, and we're supposed to show this fruit. This is the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control. So of these, we are supposed to be showing so people can see. And what do they see? They're supposed to see God because it's the Holy Spirit producing. Holy Spirit, three in one, God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And the word that popped out to me, it was crazy. It was like bold letters just flashing. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. Being faithful. Being faithful is then a fruit of the Spirit. Being faithful then is a sign that the Spirit of God lives and is working inside of you. To be faithful means what? To be faithful means what? We could say a whole bunch of definitions and a whole bunch of things. But what does it mean to be faithful by God's standard? Because that's what we're supposed to judge everything. We're not really supposed to judge everything off of what Webster's Dictionary says, right? We're not really supposed to judge everything off what we read in other books. We're supposed to judge things off of what? Off of the Word of God. Off of what the Word of God means. So what does it mean to be faithful by the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you. There's two definitions. Two definitions that really struck me. One is this. One is that faithfulness means this. Faithfulness means it's the quality of steadfast loyalty. So faithfulness can mean loyalty, but not just, it's a steadfast loyalty. Faithfulness can also mean a firm adherence to promises. And that one really got me. Because then to be faithful, and to be faithful by God's standards, means to be faithful at what? Well, faithful to the promises. Well, what are the promises? Well, all through the Old Testament, there's a bunch of promises. And there's a couple promises that says this. The promise is the Messiah. And who's the Messiah? Jesus. So to be faithful, if you read John 1, it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then you can put all this stuff together. And if faithfulness means that there's an adherence or an obeying or a listening to the promises of God, then if God promised the Messiah, and if the Messiah is the Word, and if the Word is God, then it all comes down to an adherence to God's Word, an adherence to the standard that God put in front of you, an adherence to the Word of God that's right here. So what does faithfulness mean? Faithfulness means that it's an adherence to the Word of God. It's an adherence to the promises of God. It's an adherence to what Jesus was talking about. A quality of steadfast loyalty to God. Not to me. Not to your boss. But to God. A steadfast loyalty to God. Nobody else. A steadfast loyalty, a firm adherence to what God has promised. Amen? Amen. I want to read Psalms chapter 149. I apologize if I sniff. My nose is leaking. In Psalm 149, I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to read verse 1, I'm going to read verse 5. Verse 1 says this, "Praise the Lord! Sing to the Lord a new song, and sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful." Assembly there is a Hebrew term called kahal. I'm probably saying that incorrectly. But it means congregation, all right? So the congregation of the faithful. So what does that mean? Praise the Lord, sing the Lord a new song, sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. The assembly of the people who are steadfast to God. Sing his praises. I like that verse. Sing his praises. And we might say, sing his praises when you're amongst the congregation of the faithful. And verse 5 says this, "Then let the faithful rejoice that he honors them and let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds." That tells me this. That says, when I come to church, I need to sing. When I come to the congregation of the believers, I need to sing and be joyful. And when I go home at night, if my family is adherence to God's word, then I can lie sound. I can lie in joy and in peace when I go to bed, that my family is covered, my house is covered. Why? Because I'm in the assembly of the faithful. Amen? If I'm doing my job with my family of raising my kids up in the Lord, teaching them the word, being faithful to my wife, bringing God into all areas of our marriage and our lifestyle at our house, then we can lie in peace and joy when we go to bed. That's what that says. Amen? If we're not faithful to who? Faithful to God, then we may have reasons to not sleep at night. I can say worry may be one of them. But if my house is covered and I'm faithful and we're faithful, I don't have to lie and worry. I know that my kids and my wife and my family are covered by the blood of Jesus. Because why? Because we're faithful. We stand firm to the adherences of God. That's what being faithful means. See, Abraham, let's go back to Abraham. I want to talk about Abraham for a second. We call Abraham the father of what? The father of our faith. Why? Why do we call him that? In all the readings about Abraham, he's called the father of faith because he was willing to go all out. He was willing to do anything for God. He was so faithful, he was so loyal that he would do anything for God. That means that whatever went against God's word, he was loyal to that. To what went with God's word. Excuse me. Whatever didn't go with God's word, he didn't care about. He didn't let bother him. He did not doubt that God's word was wrong. He didn't doubt. He stayed true. He had the quality of steadfast loyalty to the word of God. He was faithful. That's why he's called the father of our faith. Because he was so faithful that he was going to, well, most of the times we quote the scripture where he was so faithful that he was willing to kill his own son. Most scholars believe that he was so faithful, he was so loyal, and that he knew that he was never going to have to. But God asked him to do it. So he's like, yeah, no problem, God. I know I'm not going to have to do it, but I'll just go through the motions since you asked me to. That's why he's the father of our faith. He was so willing to do whatever it takes to stay with God's word. And he didn't crumble. He didn't try to plead. He didn't try to weasel his way around things. And he didn't go for the safest path. He just stayed true to God's word. And I believe that the biblical standard of faithfulness is that same thing, that we need to stay true to God's word. In and out of whatever it is, stay true to God's word. There are times in my life and in our marriage that we have gotten off of staying faithful to God's word. And well, not so many good things happen. Luckily, it wasn't that bad, but it still was not within what we wanted to happen. Or what we knew would happen if we would have stayed faithful to God's word. Abraham was willing to do anything. And since he's our father, a father of our faith, we should take an example as a mentor of what his faith was like. So if something seems impossible in your life, or if something seems scary, or something seems not so nice, or you might think, oh, well, I don't know, you know, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. Abraham didn't worry. He believed God. He believed the promises of God. He believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. So God told Abraham, he said, hey, you're going to be the father of many nations. You see, and then God told him to kill his own son. See, so Abraham knew. Abraham stood on the promise and said, God, I know you told me already I'm going to be a father of many nations, so I know you're not going to make me kill Isaac. Oh, here we go. Let's go on up to the mountain, because I know you're not going to make me do that. Because he stood on the promises. We have the luxury of knowing that Jesus Christ died for our forgiveness of sins. And when we are grafted into the, I'm going to say tree, right? When we're grafted in because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us, then those same promises that came to Abraham come to us. And so we can stand on the same promises that Abraham stood on. So in a metaphor, if God is telling you to go kill your only son, you can stand on the promises that he doesn't really mean that. He wants to see if you're going to listen to him and stay fast to his promises and what he told you. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. Amen? Loyalty to God. That's all that he asked for. That's all that he's asking from you, is to be loyal to him in all things. In all things, be loyal. Have faith that you won't be shaken. Don't waver left and right. Follow the narrow path. Don't worry. Because the promises is there. The promises are there that he has a path for you and a plan for you, and it's a plan to prosper and not for evil. You see, but then we get into our own heads and start to rationalize things and no, this has to be logical, and this is the rational thing to do. If I'm scared here, then the right thing to do, and you know, it's got to be God, and this and that and the other thing. And does God's word say that? If God's word says it, okay. God's word doesn't say it, it's not of God. If God's word doesn't say something, and something in your mind is telling you something else, and you say, oh, God spoke to me about this, and this is the right thing to do. Is it in here? Because if it's in here, okay. If it's not in here, it's not of God. Amen? We got to be careful about certain things that we might get into, because if we step out of being loyal to God, then we step out of faithfulness. If we step out of what God has called you to do, then we've stepped out of faithfulness. Loyalty to God, being loyal to God. I want to turn to 1 Samuel. I don't know if I'm going to get to all these scriptures, like I said, and everything I want to talk about, because I believe that God has more on this. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Say amen when you get there. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 23. Now, if we read this particular section here, Saul is trying to find David so he can kill David. And David is running from Saul. And so David comes real close to Saul. And here's what we have to say about this. It says this: the Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal. In other versions, it says, and for being faithful. And so David is saying the Lord gives his own reward for doing good and being faithful or being loyal. And I refuse to kill you even when the Lord placed you in my power. For you are the Lord's anointed one. I know Pastor Calvin had taught about David not touching the anointed one. See, because God anointed Saul. God made him there, put him there. And if David would have took Saul's life, he would have been stepping out of loyalty to God. And so it says this, and so it says that the Lord gives his own reward for those who do good and for those who are faithful. So that's why I'm not going to go against God's word and kill the anointed one. I'm just going to wait on God. You see, David acted in loyalty to God because God put Saul in that position. So David left Saul alone and let God do the work. Very much the same way in our life, we stay loyal to God. We may not go breaking down doors. Those doors might not be open for a reason at the moment. If we go breaking those down, we might be in the wrong moment. Therefore, we're not being loyal to what God's plan is for our life. So I believe we can take all these things and just wrap them in a nice big old balloon, and everything that God said is inside. We just have to connect the dots and understand that this and this connect. You see, faithfulness is loyalty to God. And David wanted to be loyal to God, so he didn't take Saul's life, because he wanted to stay loyal to God. If we stay loyal to God, well, you could say, David stayed loyal to God, and all of these promises then came true. You see, all these promises that God had promised David, you know, the kingdom and this and that and the other thing, right? They came to pass. Now imagine if David would have killed Saul and became king earlier than he was supposed to. Things might not have turned out the same way for David. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. The point of that story, very simply, is we got to be faithful in what we're doing. We got to be faithful to God, which means loyal to God, staying on the promises of God, staying on Jesus and what he taught. Being faithful to that, not faithful to me, not faithful to my mind, and not faithful to man, but faithful to God. Who cares what people say? Who cares what I say? If I'm saying God's word, then that matters. If I'm saying my word, it may not matter. This is why I'm teaching out of the word tonight, because I want to teach God's word. I don't want to teach my word. I want to teach God's word. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. You see, if you look up some definitions of faithfulness, there's loyalty, there's trust and all that stuff. And chapter 9, or verse 9 very simply says this. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You see, now that's faithfulness. Fully committed. Full commitment is faithfulness. You see, in marriages, they talk about commitment, or they talk about, have you been faithful? What does that mean? Committed. Committed to who? Committed to your partner. I'm going to go deep on you here. When we believed Jesus Christ, we became a Christian. We were grafted into a tree. We became a partner with Jesus. If we become a partner with Jesus, we're committed to Jesus. Not only are we committed to Jesus, but we're committed to other believers because all the believers are grafted into the same tree. So we're committed to other believers to be faithful to other believers. That's why it says in Psalms 149, sing with the assembly of the believers. Be faithful to the believers. I'll be faithful to you. You be committed to me. Iron sharpens iron. You know, we can connect all these different biblical scriptures to say that we all need to be faithful to each other and to Jesus so that we can all grow and become more like him. If anybody ever talked to, and anybody ever, I always ask, I've asked people to, you know, if something ever is wrong with me, point it out, tell me, please. Because why? Iron sharpens iron. If I'm doing something wrong, you need to tell me so I can become stronger. We can't be afraid to talk to each other about our problems. Why? Because if I'm going through something and I'm sinning, please tell me so I can become stronger. Likewise, if you're sinning, somebody might come up to you and tell you, hey, you're living in sin, or hey, this is a sin. It's not a judgment upon you. It's just telling you, hey, maybe get the grinder out, sharpen up your life so you can be sharper. Iron sharpens iron. It's not a judgment call and say, you're going to hell. No. It's saying, hey, listen, I want you in heaven, so let's go. It's more like a kick in the butt rather than a cut down. That's what it should be. But we get all tied up in, oh, they told me this or they told me that, or this person hates me. I hate the sin that you're doing, so stop it. I want to see you in heaven. I want you to party with me in heaven. That's what it needs to be about, iron sharpening. We need to be faithful to each other. And yeah, being faithful to each other means people call out sins a little bit. Why? I want my wife in heaven. I want Peter, I want y'all in heaven. I want to see y'all in heaven. I want you to be there rejoicing, eternity, eternal life. I don't want you not to be there. So being faithful to each other, right? So it says this again. Let's read it again. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you'll be at war. Why does it say that? It's because this person was not committed. So check this out. When you're not committed to God, you're lukewarm. What does it say in Revelation about being lukewarm? He'll spit you out of your mouth, his mouth. So if we're not committed, it says this, what a fool you have been. I'm not trying to tear you down. I want you to realize that being faithful is a fruit of the Spirit. Being faithful in all areas. If I haven't been faithful, I need to be faithful. I'm striving to be faithful. And on the same token, if you haven't been faithful, if God's tugging on your heart right now, then you need to be faithful in all areas. And if you have been, praise the Lord. If you haven't been, Time to think about it. It's between you and God. I'm just preaching the word. Psalms 12. Psalms 12, chapter 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. Oh, I can believe this for this day. If we look out in the world today, how many of us would say that you can see this particular verse coming to pass here? Oh, help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. What we see here is very simply this. The faithful have vanished from the earth. We're talking about this. Very, 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 very close to here, very close to the United States, we see people leaving the faith. We see people not coming to church. We see people not talking about church. We see people not discussing things. We see people not evangelizing, not talking about God, not bringing people to church. And this is what we're talking about. Be faithful. Faithful to who? Faithful to each other. About what? About the promises. What are the promises? The promises of Jesus. What are the promises of Jesus? Salvation, eternity, eternal life. So what should we be sharing with other people? Salvation, eternity, eternal life. Why? Because we don't want anybody here to disappear and vanish. We want people to be faithful. Faithful to who? Faithful to God. And if faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, and we're not showing faithfulness, how are people going to see that? If you see a tree out there with no leaves and no fruit, how do you know what tree it is? Now, some people with a real keen eye can look at the bark and be like, oh, that's an apple tree. But how can you tell something from something else unless you see its fruit? Faithfulness to God, and people will see God. Amen? Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. It says, many will say they are loyal friends. Now, loyal and faithfulness can be intertwined. So you can say, many will say that they are faithful friends or loyal friends. But who can find one who is truly reliable? You see, in faithful, if you look up in Webster's Dictionary, and I like what Pastor Calvin, he always looks it up in Webster's Dictionary because he, you know, says Mr. Webster was a Christian. Right? So I always look things up in Webster's Dictionary because that's what Pastor Calvin said. And so within there are synonyms and similar words for faithfulness is reliability, right? Reliable and loyal and trust and truth. And that's so you can read this very simply and say, many will say that many will say that they are faithful friends, but who can find one who is truly faithful? But if we are steadfast to God's word and steadfast to the promise of God and steadfast to the word of God, then as the word says, iron sharpens iron, so friends should be closer than they are. But who can find one that's truly reliable? As Christians, as followers of Christ, we should be faithful to our friends. That means reliable, trustworthy. There where they need us, always there, sharpening them as they sharpen us, discussing God's word, being ever present with God's word and discussing God's word, not tearing them down, but building them up, not making them dull, but making them sharper. If we stay in Proverbs chapter 3, let's go to chapter 28. Chapter 28, and I want to read verse 20. And again, it says that the trustworthy person, and trustworthy can be changed into faithful. The faithful person will get a rich reward. And I believe that if we read the word, that's obvious When we read people who are relying on God and trusting God and being faithful to God, it says here the trustworthy person, the reliable person, the faithful person will get a rich reward. But the person who wants quick riches will get in trouble. The person who wants quick riches, the person who may not be faithful, the person who wants it now and not steadfast, the person who does not rely on God's word but relies on man's word, they'll get rich. But they're going to get in trouble. And see, I pull this scripture sometimes out when kids in Bible club always ask me, how come people who aren't trustworthy, who don't listen to God, how come they get rich and all this stuff? Well, I said, just wait. Just wait on God. If they're not a believer in God, Proverbs 28:20 will come to pass. They'll get rich, but they're going to be in trouble. So being trustworthy, being a reliable person will get you a rich reward. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a whole bunch of money, but it says a rich reward. I want you to turn to one last scripture for tonight. Matthew chapter 25. And if you were here last Wednesday, you might have heard Peter touch on this a little bit. But see, the goal of faithfulness and that fruit, the goal of faithfulness is not that we work for God. It's not that we're faithful for God. That's some kind of rule and some kind of thing that we have to be faithful for God. That's not what it's about. It's that God will be freed up then. God will have free reign then to do his work through you when you're faithful. You see, when you're faithful, you free yourself up for then God's will to work strongly through you. The fruit of the Spirit is not this thing that we have to live by. It's when we live by those things, then God can move freely. So the goal of faithfulness is not to do it for God. The goal of faithfulness is so God can do things through you. That's the goal of faithfulness, is to open yourself up and be available for God, trust God, be faithful to God so that God can work through you. It's not so you can do work for God. It's so God can work through you. See, God calls us. God calls you. God calls me for service and places us with huge responsibilities. I'm going to say huge because God calls us to do this. God calls us to lay our hands on people, heal the sick, right? That's a huge responsibility. Why? There's a lot of sick people. If we're faithful to God, he will move you in order to cast out demons and heal the sick. He will move you and move through you to do his will. If we're not faithful, then we may not be used in that way. We may not be used for what his will is. We may be moving in our own will, thinking that it's God's will. And that's a dangerous place to be. He expects, I didn't get this from the word, but if you read the word and you understand the wording from it, is that God expects no complaining. I truly believe God expects for us not to complain. He always says, trust, don't worry. Trust me, don't worry. Trust me, don't worry. Don't worry about it. So I think he expects us not to complain. Do we complain? Sure. I think he expects us not to. I think he expects us just to trust him. So he expects us not to complain on our part. And he offers no explanation for his part, right? God does what he does. That's God, God's will. God's will is what it is, right? Sometimes he doesn't explain why it's this way. God, why is this happening? Why? Sometimes there's no explanation. It's just God's will. And he expects us not to complain about it. I believe it's because God wants to use you, wants to use me, wants to use us as he did use Jesus. See, and Jesus didn't really complain. All he did was maybe ask a question here, you know, God, you know, why are you doing this? But if it's your will, just let it be done then. He didn't worry about it. He didn't complain. He allowed, Jesus was so faithful to God, so committed to God, so committed to his Father, that God was able to work through him in many, many, many ways. And it's my belief, and I think God expects to use us the same way. That we are so faithful to God that he moves through us the same way he moved through Jesus. The same way. Which is why I believe Jesus said this: you'll be able to do the same things that I did and more. It's not because this Holy Spirit thing was going to be so powerful that it possesses you and all of a sudden you're a magician. No. It's because you allowed yourself to be faithful that now the Holy Spirit can actually move through you and the will of God be done. That's what faithfulness will do. That the will of God will be done because of your faithfulness. Amen? Matthew chapter 25, and we'll end with this scripture. Matthew 25. Like I said, I wanted to say this before. Peter touched on it a little bit the other night. Matthew 25. This is what everybody wants to say, right, at the pearly gates. This is what we want him to say. Verse 21. We want the master to be full of praise, saying, well done. Now, saying, well done. My Bible says this: well done, my good and faithful servant. Not only was it good, but you were faithful. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Now check this out. If you keep reading, it says this: you have been faithful. Oh, man. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. And then it says, let's celebrate. That's like saying, look, man, you've been faithful. I'm going to give you a promotion. Let's celebrate. I'm going to give you more things. Let's celebrate, right? Because why? Because you got more things. You got more stuff. I'm giving you more. I'm giving you more power. I'm giving you more of the Holy. You're allowing me to work through you in such a way. Let's celebrate. God says, well done, good and faithful servant. I've worked through you because you have been faithful to me. You've allowed this. I'll give you more now. Because you've allowed me to do this in you, I'm going to allow you to do more. I'm going to move through you more. I'm going to do this through you more. Because you've been a good and faithful servant. And I say that Peter touched on this last year. I don't know if he used this scripture. I forget if he used the scripture or not. But it's this: Good and faithful servant means you used your time wisely. And he talked about using time. If you're going to be good and faithful, that means you have used your time wisely with what God has asked you to do. Thus, the will of God has worked through you. Therefore, you have been a good and faithful servant. You've done good with a small amount, and so now God is going to give you more responsibilities. Maybe God's small amount for you was just to talk about Jesus in your whole aspect of life, whether you're here at work or wherever, Walmart or whatever it is. And if you've been faithful in those small things, God is saying, hey, you've been faithful with that. Now I'm going to give you more. Now let's start laying hands on those people. Now let's start prophesying to those people. Now I'm going to give you the gift of wisdom about those people. But we still have to be faithful. Being faithful doesn't end. Being faithful is just the beginning so that the word can work through you. God wants to use you the same way he used Jesus. Jesus was faithful to God. You be faithful to God and see how God moves through you to reach the lost, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons, to break down walls. The scripture says, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things. So when you're faithful to God, all things are possible. And we've read multiple scriptures and talked about multiple different things tonight to say this. If you're faithful in the small things, God will allow you to be faithful in the bigger things. And God will move in such a way that you probably will exhibit all the fruits of the Spirit. And the Spirit will move through you in such a way that you'll heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, save the lost. All those things. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being at Faith Ministries Church tonight. Be faithful. Be faithful to God in all things that you do. I implore you, I encourage you, be faithful this week, every day, every minute. Be faithful. Amen. Y'all have a good week. Love you. Be good. Be faithful. Let God work through your life.